Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Sandra Campos, the CEO of Project Vert. Good afternoon, Sandra. How you doing?
Hi, thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you and speak with you today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. And that's a nice background. Is that an actual background or is that a virtual background?
Well, actually, it's virtual, but it's my living room. So I took a picture of my living room and set it up as my virtual background. So it feels more like me because it is mine.
Yeah, and I just happen to be in a cave in Israel right now. Coincidence. No, it's obviously a background. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am a 30-year veteran of retail, and I have been leading retail businesses I've been the president and CEO of brands for the last 15 years. Started out in the world of retail, thought I was going to be a designer, decided I didn't want to be, but I always knew then I wanted to be a CEO. So at the time, looking at where the presidents and CEOs were coming from, they were coming out of the wholesale industry from a sales perspective. So as we all know, we sell every day, no matter what you do. You're selling yourself, your ideas, or anything. So it was an amazing way to kind of get integrated into an industry and understand all the particulars. And so as I kind of grew into my leadership roles, I had the opportunity to do a lot of different things and travel all over the country and work across different disciplines within fashion and retail, from buying to merchandising to sales, obviously, and other areas. And then I started being responsible. So for the last 15 years, as I've been leading businesses, I started becoming more focused on digital. And what at the time, no one was talking about digital transformation, but really it was about how do we transform these very traditional legacy businesses and give them a digital footprint and a digital facing footprint, because they were never going to be digitally native. But it's like, how do we take these businesses that have been around and put them on the internet and put them on an internet in a way that you're going to have, you know, engagement with your consumer and understand who they are and data analytics and all those things. So that really kind of started for me about 12 years ago. And it was actually because I had taken a break from corporate life and became an entrepreneur. A business partner and I started a brand management company for celebrities. And we started with Selena Gomez. She was our first celebrity that we built a brand for. She was 15 years old when we approached her. And I still say to this day how she really taught me a lot, because at the time when we started with her, it was 2009, and there was really only Facebook. There was no Instagram, Snapchat, or TikTok, or anything else. And it was about being authentic in communication, understanding your audience. And she did it better and still does it better than most people do. So, you know, that was a great experience. For 6 years, we had a business with her. And as during those 6 years, there was a lot that started changing, obviously from digital and e-commerce and more technology companies and obviously social media platforms. So as I evolved from that, I've been continuing to really take traditional retailers, brands such as Juicy Couture, BB or BCBG, and then Diamond Furstenberg, DVF, and really position them, building a community and focusing on digital. So that's where I have been. The last year, obviously, was a year for the record books from everyone, but unfortunately, it impacted us in retail pretty significantly. And at DVF, we had to close our 68 stores. We had to furlough 75% of employees and change the business model. So in changing the business model, and, you know, I think if we all think back to April 2020, it felt like the world was ending, right? And doom and gloom, and no one knew. And in fashion specifically, and in retail specifically, you could see companies were going bankrupt. There was so much chaos happening. So I decided to go into technology. So I am the CEO of Project Vert, as you mentioned, which is retail technology and supply chain solutions that are really focused on modernizing and innovating and disrupting what the back end of the business is doing in terms of your fulfillment, your shipping, your transportation management, your order management. Once a customer clicks that they want to purchase something, from that moment until the time it gets to their door, that's what we focus on and that's what we service. So we help clients, brands, retailers of all sizes, all industries along that continuum. So we have an operating system and a platform that allows different applications within a tech stack that really focuses on supply chain to be able to have an integrated unified view so that in one dashboard or one location, you can actually see where all your inventory is, all your sales come from, and make much more intelligent decisions.
Wow. So you provide the not sexy part for the sexy part of the business. It's operations, exactly right?
I say that kind of often, and I say it in a joking way, but I never really thought supply chain was sexy, but it's very sexy right now.
Yes. But I mean, what you do, it's the backbone. As I mean, I've been in tech for years, and without a good back end system, there is chaos, correct?
Yes, that's true. And that's exactly right. And I think there's a lot of change and innovation that's coming obviously out of the pandemic and everyone really looking and saying, well, you know, if this is what the new customer behavior is going to be and the new pattern and e-commerce acceleration that's taken place, we need to make sure that we're prepared on all sides from a 3PL logistics center to brands and retailers that are having to make sure that they keep up and manage inventory and predicting inventory and forecasting it in a way that they're going to do it profitably, responsibly, sustainably, et cetera.
Wow, very cool. And in your customers, I mean, they had to be affected a lot by COVID, right? I would assume, right? And I assume a lot of them weren't prepared for all of a sudden the increase in volume. Is that true?
I would say a lot more than I thought, because again, if we go back to a year ago, there was so much negativity happening in the chaos of the pandemic and the lockdowns and no one going to stores, but the customers shifted pretty quickly. And I really give a lot of credit to brands, retailers, businesses, and general organizations that pivoted and went digitally very, very quickly. They went online, created content like what you're doing. You know, it's like as much content as you can create and where the audience is, you're able to consume it. So a lot more people, a lot more retailers, a lot more brands, a lot more businesses that certainly I've been involved in, know of, or work with now have really changed and shifted number one, in terms of what digital is as a priority, but also the business has increased, you know, high double digits.
Yeah, very true. And in your company in particular, I mean, we talked before, you're already distributed, but everybody went remote, which is slightly different, about 15 months ago. So how did that affect your company? And were you at the company at the time?
I was at DVF at the time. Yeah. So it affected us quite significantly. I remember March 12th saying, okay, we're going to come back in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks became another month. And then it was like, we had no idea what was going to happen and when we were going to come back. So I had moved upstate. I left New York City and moved upstate to my farmhouse. I didn't even have a desk. I had nothing that could actually be construed as a desk. So it was just navigating through. I literally had my laptop on my knees for the first sessions that I was on for any kind of webinars, you know, sitting there propping it up, trying to figure out like, how am I going to do this? Remote was a definite challenge for me, for our organization, for people who weren't used to it. You know, how do you communicate? Zoom became the word of the day for everyone. And, you know, now I think fast forward, there's definitely been benefits. You know, the company that I joined was already, as you mentioned, we have a team in Israel, we have a team in Atlanta, we have people spread out all over the country and in different responsibilities. And the reality is, like, you know, you make it work. Are there things that could be better? Absolutely. And I think we kind of have to navigate through that. It's interesting. I go back to the city every week or so for meetings, and now it's becoming so much more alive again. And there's a lot of activity happening and there's people going back and it just feels like a lot of excitement. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly and what type of change and what type of hybrid models we have for workplace.
Yeah. And is your company's office in the Fashion District?
No, we actually have, our main office is in Atlanta. Okay. And more of a fulfillment center office. So it's outside the main city in terms of our New York City offices. They're in Midtown. So it's not specifically fashion, because we're industry agnostic as a company now. What we offer technology wise, you could be a grocery retailer, you can be apparel, footwear, accessories, anything in between.
Interesting. So you joined this company as the CEO since COVID, and you have offices in various parts of the world. Have you actually been to those offices yet?
I went to Atlanta for the first time in May.
Oh, wow. So a whole year almost.
Yes, I know. And that was quite interesting. It was quite interesting to have town halls on Zoom and not meet people that report to you or you work with every day. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hi, nice to mm-hmm. meet you in person. So it was, you know, it's been an interesting, but not bad. I wouldn't say it's bad. I think there's a lot of benefits to having people have access to remote, but I do think that the bad part has been we work that much longer and that much harder, I feel like. And everybody I talk to feels the same way. You know, where there's, you can read every day about burnout and burnout's real and Zoom burnout's real. And, you know, I think there's definitely a balance that has to be created or it does become very overwhelming.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it's funny because California is opening up in 12 days, supposedly. So I do expect that that work-life balance is going to come back into play now that, because I mean, when you can't do anything, you might as well work is what a lot of people would say. I think that's going to go away pretty quickly. Would you agree?
I do. I think that's going to go away and start finding some balance. I'm seeing it now as well. And, you know, people are starting to have dinners and starting mm-hmm. to have activities and functions to attend. And so there's more of a social gathering and social business that's happening as well, which will shift that dynamic also.
Yes. And once things do open up, I mean, now that you're the CEO of this company, do you foresee that you're going to continue with a distributed and a remote model, or you go back to distributed and people have to come into the office?
Well, that's a bit of a question right now, because one is the business that we have in Atlanta, we have a fulfillment center. So you actually have to have people there in the fulfillment center. So it's hard for them not to physically be there. But at the same time, people who don't have to physically be in the warehouse are asking and do want to have some options because traffic, because of, you know, home life with children in some cases, or some of the elderly that they're taking care of. There are different scenarios. And I think, you know, it really, from a leadership standpoint, it is about trying to have some optionality and really understanding people's concerns and their needs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to be there as a community for our employees. We need to be there as a community to help build up their careers and help give them opportunities, but also to help understand what their needs are on a day-to-day basis. And if it works, then it's great. If it doesn't work, obviously you can make some changes.
Yes. And what do you think about your customers? Because of, you know, now that a lot of them have gone online, they still have fulfillment and all that stuff, but they've gone online. You see that they're going to stay the same, or they're going to go back to a more hybrid model?
I think they're going back to a hybrid model as well. I mean, there's a lot of customers that we have and clients that are out there traveling mm-hmm. and, know, hitting the road again. And there's a lot of movement. So I think we're going to go back to seeing a lot of more hybrid type of workplaces. And, you know, I don't know. I think that listen, companies saved a lot of money not having their employees travel, right? So TNE budgets were dramatically reduced. And so hopefully there's going to be some benefit that we don't have to be on the road all the time, but there's definitely going to be, there's a lot to be said about being in person with your clients, as you know.
Yes. That's true. And do you have any plans to visit your center in Israel anytime soon?
No. No. I don't have any plans immediately, but our CTO who's based in Israel is actually coming here for 3 months.
Well, so that makes sense. Yeah. And it is a little bit harder to travel outside the U.S. than easier to come here, I think. Would you agree?
It seems. And, you know, there's obviously been quite a bit of turbulence in Israel recently. So I think that also.
True. Yeah, I we'll just leave that as it is. So, well, Sandra, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for your time today. And I wish you have a great weekend and a great summer.
Thank you. You too. So nice to meet you. And what a great job you're doing.
Oh, congrats. Thank you.